ಉಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ರಾಧೆ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ್ 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 ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ್ ತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಲಲಿತಾ ವಿಶಾಖ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ್ನಿತಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜನಾರ್ದನ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये हरे कृष्ण वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू द संडे भागवतम क्लास इट्स लाइक ऑल द कोरोना डोर्स हैव बीन ओपन्ड It's like cultural shock after 2 years. But a very happy shock. Happy cultural shock. So you can put it off. It's making sound. Put that on. So today we are reading from first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth chapter, 17th verse, the passing away of Bhishmadev. तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानु विहितो नाथ नाथ पाहि प्रजा विभु प्रभो तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानु विहितो नाथ नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानु विहितो नाथ नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो स्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानु विहितो नाथा नाथ प्राहि प्रजा प्रभो तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानुहितो नाथा नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानुविहितो नाथा नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो माताजी दैवतंत्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ तस्यानुविहितो नाथ नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो तस्मादिदं दैवतंत्रं भरतर्षभ तस्यानुविहितो नाथ नाथ पाहि प्रजा प्रभो व्यवस्य भरतर्षभ हरे कृष्ण तस्मात् देयरफॉर इदम् दिस दैव तंत्रम एन्चैंटमेंट ऑफ प्रोविडेंस ओनली व्यवस्य एसर्टेनिंग भरतर्षभ ओ बेस्ट अमोंग द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ भरत तस्य बाय हिम अनुविहिता हैज डिजायर्ड अनाथ हेल्पलेस नाथ ओ मास्टर पाही जस्ट टेक केयर ऑफ प्रजा ऑफ द सब्जेक्ट्स प्रभो ओ लॉर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद The popular saying is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Leki bole sune lage. Marathi mein kehte hain. Similarly, the Lord teaches the world by teaching his devotee. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Whenever there is, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, it is for teaching the less intelligent men. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. The Pandavas were advised by Bhishma Dev to accept the responsibility of administration without hesitation. The poor subjects were without protection due to the battle of Kurukshetra and they were awaiting the assumption of power by Maharaj Yudhishthir. A pure devotee of the Lord accepts tribulation as favors from the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two. Umagyana timirandhasya ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुर उन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा, राम रामा हरे हरे. वी विल चैंट वंस मोर लाउडली. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. ऑलवेज देर इज मोर पोटेंशियल देन व्हाट इज रियलाइज्ड. And we are always a little miserly in using our full potential. Let's chant one more loudly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. So, this chapter, 9th chapter of 1st canto, where the divine passing away of Bhishma Dev is described. And the background to the story is like this, that Mahabharata war has now ended. Pandavas have won the battle. They were about to become the kings of the universe or whatever, the earthly planet, Chakravarti Samrat. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is sad. This is a very unique situation. Because although Yudhishthir Maharaj is Yudhishthir Maharaj, supposed to be now next king, so qualified in everything, but he is a Vaishnav from the heart. There is always a public aspect of somebody, a personality, and there is a private aspect of a personality. The public aspect is becoming a king, leading people, you know, doing so many things. But personal aspect is being a devotee of the Lord, to love the Lord. So like Lord Shiva, public aspect is to do destruction and Nataraj and so many artistic items, being Mahadev, and so many things are there. But privately, he is a very sweet Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. So like that, every personality has these two aspects. One is public appearance and one is private, internal, confidential situation. So the internal confidential situation is this feeling that all this massacre took place because of me. To make me king, all this happened. So we are feeling responsible for all this massacre. And not less, you know. Only 7 people lived out of 18 Akshavhini Sainya. Only 7 people lived. So not 7, I think. I'm not, 4 plus 3. You know, 5 plus, around 8 or 9 people. Ashwatthama, Krutavarma, Krupacharya on that side. And this side, 5 Pandavas. And nobody else, I think. So much of massacre from this side and that side. He felt it because of me it happened. And he's taking responsibility that I am responsible. Now, Acharyas explain that he was not responsible at all. Even Bhishma Dev explains here. That is the power of time. Time, Kala, is acting in his own accord. And even Brahma, Shiva and Devarishis and every great soul cannot understand what is the plan of the Lord through the power of time. So Acharyas explain very beautifully that in the material world, people shun away responsibility when they are responsible. They are actually responsible. But they put the blame on others. Because of you it happened. Because of you it happened. And when it comes to take credit of some good things, they will steal it from others and say, see, I did it. In my leadership this happened. But a Vaishnava is exactly opposite. It sometimes looks like Vaishnavas have inferiority complex. They don't have confidence. That's why, you know, they are always like this, low esteem. It's not like that. Humility and low esteem are two different things. Low esteem is based on false ego, that I am great and I can't tolerate me being so low fallen. That's how you come to low esteem situation. But humility means you are great, but you still feel you are humble. Like in front of ant, if the ant is challenging elephant and elephant neglects, it doesn't mean elephant is coward. Elephant is strong, but he doesn't want to get into this ant business. So, okay,
I don't want to fight you. The ant is saying, you fight with me. And the elephant is saying, no. You can be victorious, no problem. Sai Rupa Goswami, but Pandit came to defeat him in Vrindavan. He was challenging. He was told that if you defeat Rupa Goswami, you will be the sovereign Pandit all over the world. So he came to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami said, yes, I'll sign immediately. I'm not a match with you. Because he was so qualified, he could have defeated him. But he said, no, I am not interested. So it was taken as Rupa Goswami's weakness or lack of knowledge or incapability. So he was very happy. He said, sign. Just don't say, you sign. So he signed also. But then Jiva Goswami thought, my Guru Maharaj, my uncle is being, in one way insulted or, demeaning is happening, belittling is happening. So he just challenged him and defeated him within no time. That also is humility. That's not arrogance. To protect the dignity of spiritual master, a disciple has to fight. So humility has different connotations when you come on spiritual platform. In material life, humility is considered to be cowardice and weakness. So Dharmaraj is, Yudhishthira is exhibiting a very high Vaishnava nature. That although he is not responsible, he is feeling responsible. So very sad actually. And Sri Krishna also could not console him. Amazingly, right? What Sri Krishna cannot do? Sri Krishna can do anything. So apparently the scene was that Yudhishthira is crying and blaming himself and Krishna trying to console him but unable to console him. So Krishna directed him to Bhishma Dev. So there our acharyas explained that Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev actually. What he could have told and pacified Yudhishthira, he wanted Bhishma Dev to speak from his lotus mouth and get the glory that Bhishma Dev is so great that even on the Sharapanjara, on the bed of arrows, he could speak such wonderful education to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So that's how the whole story begins in this chapter. Yudhishthira Maharaj is brought by Krishna to Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, who is lying on the bed of arrows in a most painful condition. So many things we can learn, we'll elaborate. So Bhishma Dev first narrated all the things that happened in Pandava's life. In fact, Bhishma Dev apparently was in Hastinapur, I don't remember any story where Bhishma Dev came to Vrindavan to, have some pilgrimage. He's always in Hastinapur. But the way he narrates Krishna's childhood pastimes and Krishna stealing butter and Mother Yashoda scolding him and tying him and Krishna killing demons and performing Rasa Leela, amazing. That means, like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai and so many other devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they never came to Vrindavan. But their hearts were Vrindavan. Some of them were sent to Vrindavan by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But other devotees, it is explained that they stayed back to propagate Vrindavan consciousness wherever they were. So it's not that, they never went to Vrindavan, so they mustn't be bona fide devotees of Krishna. They were never went to Vrindavan. How can they be bona fide devotees of Krishna? Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. How did they not go? But pure devotee, wherever he has Krishna in his heart. And because Krishna in his heart, Vrindavan is in the heart of that pure devotee. Even Krishna, he may be in Dwarka, he may be on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he may be in the Hastinapur, he may be anywhere. But Radharani in his heart. That's why there is something called as Radha Partha Sarathi Mandir. In the middle of the battle also, Radharani in his heart, is in his heart. So Bhishma Dev narrates beautifully. And also he comes to the point of explaining Yudhishthira Maharaj about all the past sufferings that they went through. See, it's a very beautiful way of counseling actually. Appreciating, showing empathy, giving counsel, giving strength, by narrating Krishna's pastime. It's all very beautiful scientific way of counseling. The way he brought Yudhishthira Maharaj to a tranquil condition. All the psychological counselors, you know, should study the way Bhishma Dev is talking. And what platform he's talking. He's having already maybe 3.5 crores arrows in his body. It is not that he's sitting in the couch nicely in the air-conditioned office and the counselee has come and he's nicely following the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and counseling. That's another way to look at, you know, when the distressed counselee comes. You may be also in distressed condition on your own way. But the counselor is so compassionate. He is extending himself in the most painful condition. So he is, you know, empathizing with Yudhishthira. That yes, I know your mother had to go to forest first of all, in first place because your father got some curse from somebody and they lived in forest. Although being Rastha, they lived like mendicants and fetching water from river, you know, servants around. And then suddenly your father died and your co-mother also entered the fire with father. And two of her and three of her children, five children, she had to take them to Hastinapur. And you know, so much embarrassment was there. You are not wanted. They were happy that you are not there. And now you are coming back with your five children and you are already widowed. You need shelter. So that time Bhishmadev of course gave shelter and really made them comfortable. But they had to undergo a lot of troubles. Always Duryodhan was trying to kill them. So many ways, poison cake and fire and so many tribulations he's narrating that. You had undergone so much. So then he's saying, so much of tribulations you underwent, but all this is within the plan of the Lord. He's understanding, he's telling. So he's empathizing and then also telling that don't worry, this is all within the plan of the Lord. The Lord's plan is inconceivable and you did not suffer because of your karmas. That also he mentions very beautifully. Don't think that you are sinful, that's why your past karmas were fructifying and you are suffering with this kind of sufferings. No, Pandavas and Kuntis did not suffer due to their previous karma. So, it is all due to the inconceivable will of the Lord. And Bhishma also wonders how time is so powerfully controlling in spite of the presence and actions of the virtuous Pandavas and Sri Krishna. That is something very amazing. Sri Krishna was present. He was present in Vrindavan also. But still, all the miseries and calamities were happening one after another. Krishna was there in Hastinapur also. Pandavas were there, so virtuous. Every single person was pure devotee. The aura of a pure devotee is so powerful. It mitigates all the miseries, but they were undergoing miseries one after another, getting purified in one sense. So Bhishma also is wondering how it is possible. Person like you is personified, dharma is present, but still you had to undergo so much difficulties in life. So he is also feeling bad about it. And then he is telling, don't worry, you are not the only one. Even Brahma and Lord Shiva and Narad Muni cannot conceive why the Lord is doing what he is doing. And what is the internal plan of the Lord in doing what he is doing and getting things happen? Doesn't he know that now Duryodhana is going to poison Bhima? Couldn't he have stopped? Doesn't he know that he is building a house of lakh and he is going to burn them in the house of lakh? Couldn't he have, you know, why he did not prevent that to happen? It's all inconceivable because the Lord is letting the devotees go through and he wants to exhibit the glories of the Lord to all the people in the world. See, this is my devotees. These are my devotees. They have not complained any time. What is the use of you being Krishna in our life? What is the use of you being with us all the time? Still we are suffering. Then why we should be your devotees? Why should we keep faith in you that you will save us? So many questions can come, no? Which we usually ask when difficulties come. Hare, what is the use of chanting Hare Krishna for so many years? Why this is happening to me only? There are so many sinful people in the world. This could have gone to them. And I am chanting Hare Krishna and still things are happening to me. But never you hear in whole of Mahabharata, anywhere, any of the Pandavas or Kunti are saying like this. In fact, Kunti is like another person. She is saying, let the calamities come again and again. My God, this is like unrelatable, you know, very difficult to relate with. I don't want to become like that, Baba. so much of difficulties that I had to still say, thank you, my Lord, let the calamities come again and again. Vipada, Santuta, Shashwat. But it takes one to know one. You need to be a kind of a devotee within yourself to understand the mindset of Kunti Devi. Because I told you, something is external and something is inside, private, confidential. External is so much of suffering. But internal processing is such a Vaishnava processing, such a divine, transcendental processing of every event is there, that actually these all things are meant for my good only. It takes courage. It takes devotional substance to know this, that all these so-called painful circumstances are meant for my ultimate welfare. Thakur Bhaktivinoda also is saying in the same thing, Tomara sevaya dukkha hoya jata sevata parama sukha. Whenever I suffer miseries in your service, not outside doing some activities, while doing your service, whenever I suffer, I feel I am getting purified. Nashaya avidya. I mean, all the avidya, ignorance is destroyed within me. But for which you and me need to be on some spiritual platform, if not on the elevated platform. And we are, you and me need to be also in the association of sincere devotees. With these two things, you can understand actually, yes, I suffered, it was so painful, but actually I understand it is for good for me. And that's why devotional life becomes so glorious actually. Devotees are seen to be, you know, suffering in wholesale manner. Believe me. I'm not trying to scare you. But as soon as you become devotee, you know, suffering start. Why they start? Because Lord wants you to get finished with everything. And Lord has a plan of His own personal supervision while you are undergoing suffering. So that He is not only making you suffer, but He's trying to make you elevated and purified. For the non-devotees, sufferings are suffering and painful as a reaction of their past karma. For the devotees, it's not only that, it's also upliftment of the soul towards His lotus feet. And He is under His personal supervision and guidance that is happening. He is not allowing Maya to act fully. He is taking the reins in His hand and doing everything for His devotee personally. That's why devotees like Kunti Devi can have the courage to say this. That they know, all this has happened for my good. I have faith. Whatever happens next also will be for my good only, by your arrangement, my Lord. So he is recounting the events and appreciating Pandavas and their mother and the way they went through life. They never left their virtue because of sufferings that they had. They never became revengeful. Especially Yudhishthira Maharaj. Others were enraged, but Yudhishthira Maharaj was so calm and quiet and, you know, so composed. Yudhishthira, one who is sthir in Yuddha also. One who is stable in even the war conditions. That kind of personality he was. So he could balance everything out. He balanced his brothers. All their rages, he managed them. So he was not simply going through and sad and upset and agitated. But he was so composed and so grateful and graceful in doing all the things. He never lost his own status of whatever he was while he was undergoing all these miseries. See, all of us get disturbed when miseries come. Other times when things are all right, we are appearing to be very peaceful, you know, very devoted and very committed and all. When difficulties come, we do get agitated. Turbulence is there. But with the kindness and kind association of devotees, we can be also graceful and grateful. Like Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, when they went through all the situations. Then he said, after appreciating, empathizing, and giving the philosophical understanding, he says, accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, now you should follow it as it is. Now you should not think about it. Now you have understood that this is Lord's plan. It is inconceivable, not only to you, even to Brahma and Shiva also is inconceivable. So it's okay. But now you should abide, you should follow by the desire of the Lord. So he's preparing them. He's taking him out of his misery and now placing him on the platform of performing his duty, irrespective of feeling bad or not bad. Because ultimately, whether you feel bad or not bad, you have to go on doing your duties. You cannot waste this valuable human life just sitting and crying. You know, oh, why this happened? Oh, this should have happened like this. I should have acted this way. I shouldn't have acted that way. Yes, you can always do the manthan. But that manthan should not stop you from doing your duties. Because the duties are very important. But those duties will take you towards the Lord. If of course, your duties are Krishna conscious and as per the dharma, as per the welfare of everybody and yourself. So he is now bringing Yudhishthira to that platform. Okay, please do your duties. A devotee's duty is ungrudgingly accept tribulations as benedictions, as favors coming from the Lord. So, Kunti Devi underwent all the miseries, but you never see her thanking the Lord immediately after the misery. Okay, Bhimsen was poisoned. Thank you, my Lord. It's your mercy. My children are getting burnt with me. Thank you, my Lord. No. She is telling all these things at one opportune time. When Krishna is leaving from Hastinapur to Dwarka. Isn't that right? So that also gives us some provision. That today if you are suffering miserably, not necessarily today only you have to thank. Tomorrow morning you can thank in the morning. You sleep nicely and get up in the morning and then reconcile and say, thank you, my Lord, for yesterday's misery. It's possible, it's good. If you are not able to do that right in the middle of misery, if you can do that, then you are a great personality. But Brahma says, doesn't matter. Even after that, you bow down to the Lord, you are thankful, you are graceful, and you appreciate Lord's mercy on you. Although you don't understand, you understand that you don't understand, but it is still there, you know. You don't understand how it is mercy, but you still understand it is mercy and you accordingly act. That is wonderful. So, suppose you have not thanked the Lord for the past miseries and now you have come out of it, you can thank them for the miseries now, no problem. Because whenever you thank the Lord for past or present miseries, you get tremendous spiritual potency within you. Tremendous strength comes within you. Spiritual power to progress in Krishna consciousness and to serve the Lord in a positive attitude. So, how we should take all the tribulation? Ungrudgingly. Don't crib constantly. Why me only? What wrong I have done? So many years I am doing so many things. Why me only? How do we know what is good for us? No. Only Lord knows what is good for us. What we know what is good for us is as per our senses and how our mind feels. But the Lord doesn't Lord doesn't act in a way that what you feel is good and bad for you. Lord acts by His understanding what is good and bad for you. So you have to give that liberty to the Lord. My Lord, I say that I have submitted myself to you, but still I am grudging. Still I am complaining and cribbing. So my Lord, yeah, it's painful. I'm like a child. I will still crib. But my Lord, you keep doing what you want to do. At least that conclusion we should come up to. And that courage we must have. That finally, my Lord, I am going to crib. Please forgive it and please ignore it. But you do what is best for me. Don't let me have what is feeling good to me. Because what is feeling good to me may not be always good for me. It can be on the sensual platform. So, and at the same time, don't be grudging. At the same time, accept all tribulations and as benedictions and favors. It's completely contrast concept, you know. I slap you and you say, wow, it is good for my cheek. It's going to be increasing my blood supply to my cheek muscles. It's going to be red very soon. Jokes apart, but when Lord does that, it is not just to, you know, titillate you, it's just for ultimate spiritual welfare. Lord has, as soon as you chanted first Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and decided to submit yourself to the Lord as a devotee, there onwards, Lord has gathered all your files of previous, present and future life, which has been planned by Brahma or Yamraj. That, okay, so many karmas are there, some previous lifetime, some this lifetime, remaining in the further lifetimes of animal, birds, human beings, devata, whatever. Now all that was going to be normal course of action. Now you are chosen to be a devotee. It's all brought in one file. Now it's become a big fat file. And now he has, because you have chosen to be a devotee, to become a devotee or to be a devotee in future, He will delete everything that is not necessary for your purification in His own power and adhikar. But He will keep those things which are necessary for you to get purified and come closer to Him. So because it is all collective, it is large. If it was a singular life file, it wouldn't have been so many things coming up in one lifetime. But now that you have chosen to be a devotee of the Lord, He has chosen to accept you as His devotee. He has gathered everything. And now it's a large number of, although token, but large tokens. Large amount of tokens together, which appears to be overwhelming sometimes. So devotees always appear to be suffering all the time. But with each suffering, the devotee is going closer and closer to Krishna. And with each suffering, the non-devotee personality is going deeper and deeper into Maya. Performing more and more entangling activities, binding him further and further, creating more and more files of further lifetimes. So how and why devotees can thank the Lord? Because they have this understanding. He, actually what I am getting as a token, it was supposed to be like this. I got a hit on big toe of my right foot at the junction of the nail and the skin. You can imagine for a while, right toe, right big toe, the big hit came at the junction of the nail and the skin. In 15 days, my leg was hanging with bandage. But I thought maybe I was supposed to have a very big accident, which has come down to only a small thing for 15 days. I was seeing patients with my foot raised on a table with a bandage, you know. So I can say, why this one to me? But I can understand, oh, it could have been so big. So that's why I can thank. If I know this, I can thank. Oh, whatever is happening is only token. What if it was real and full size or full range? So this is the way how can we can be ungrudging and we can be thankful. And how we can be thankful? Considering as benedictions and favors. Oh, Lord favored me by bringing it down to only that small thing, which could have been big. Okay? So this is the purport that we explained in few words. Now we'll go to the history. Bhishmadev was one of the Ashtavasus. And he eight Vasus, they did some offense to a Rishi. They were in Swargaloka. But the Rishi cursed them to go down to the material world and have Garbhavas. Garbhavas means staying in the womb of the mother. It's not pleasurable. Everybody is happy, not except the baby inside. And also the mother is not so happy. Mother is emotionally happy but physically suffering. So much backache and vomiting, this, that. So they got their curse. And at the same time, in Swargaloka, in one sabha, you know, Vayudev arranged in such a way that Ganga Devi's upper cloth was like flown away. And at that time, all the demigods looked down. Except one person, this Shantanu, who was supposed to be Shantanu in future. So both of them were cursed to go down to material world. Okay, this kind of mentality doesn't fit here. It has to be only in the material world. You go to the material world. So Gangadevi was on the way. Ashtavasus were on the way. What would they meet on the way? And they said, okay, we have to take a Garbhavas. So she said, okay, because we know each other, I will give you my Garbhavas to you. I will see that you, please see that we don't keep us in the material world even one moment after our birth. But our curse is only Garbhavas, not life on the material world. She had life in the material world. So she accepted that service. And then Shantanu became one of the Kurus. And one time he was at the bank of Ganga. He fell in love with Mother Ganga. And she put a condition that, see, whatever I'll do now, you will never question. So nice, na? If all ladies have that benediction from husband. And he was so much enamored. He said, okay, whatever you do, I want to marry you. And he never expected and imagined what things he will do which I will have to question her. But the first child, you know, how much happy they must be, they conceived the first child. And the first child, she just, straight from Sutika Graha, she went to her own waters and submerged the water in the baby in the water. And you know, Shantanu had to go behind and say, you know, what is she doing? And in front of his own eyes, she dumped the baby in the water and the baby went away and died. And he was like broken hearted, but he couldn't say anything, was so attached to her. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. I'm telling you, in first fast forward, but imagine the misery of Shantanu. How much misery he must have gone through, because Ganga Devi is a very precious personality. Not only beautiful, but she was a divine personality. To get her as your wife and to conceive children to for your progeny, for Kuru dynasty, is such a great fortune. And one after another, everybody is going in the water. But eighth one, he just couldn't say. Said, "You wretched lady, you cruel lady, what are you doing? You have spoiled all my seven of my children. Eighth one also, you are doing this thing." She was so peaceful. She said, "You stop me. You question me. So I am going." Now he's devastated. He lost 7 children. Now he's losing his wife also. And that too, with the 8th child also, he's going to go away. My God, this is material life. Please understand. Telai gele, tupai gele, hati dupatne raile. Meaning, you know, he lost everything. He lost everything. But what to do? You have no choice when things happen. You can't reverse them or, you know, go backward, rewind. Aisa nahi hota hai. But she said ki, so she went and then she trained that 8th son. That is actually Devabrat, that is Bhishmadev. Small baby. She took him to Swargaloka. And she trained him for spiritual science under Brihaspati. So Brahma Vidya was taught by Brihaspati, the demigod guru, the greatest guru of all demigods, Brihaspati. And military arts, Kshatra Vidya, she got him trained under Parshuram. You can imagine, Lord Parshuram. So nobody can match this personality. It was such an invincible personality in Brahma Vidya, also in Kshatra Vidya. He was the best of all best persons on the planet that time. All time Mr. Universe. All time. From childhood to his departure when he was 180 year old. At the end of Dwapar Yuga. Although he was a young boy, he was a master of everybody. When he was all very old, Prapitamaha of people, he was the same personality. Duryodhan and Arjuna and people couldn't stand in front of him. Although, you know, at the time of warfare of battlefield of Kurukshetra, somewhere I had studied in the past, Arjuna was something like 75-year-old, Yudhishthira was something like 85-year-old, Krishna was 125, and Bhishmadeva was 180-year-old. And suppose your life is 100, so 50 years is like first half and 50 plus is second half. So that time, life was something like 200 at the end of Dwapar Yuga. So Arjuna and everybody was in a young category. And Krishna and everybody was in a middle age and old category. So Arjuna was a young man. Still, Bhishmadev was indefatigable by anybody. He was so powerful. Such a great personality. So, why he fought from Kaurava side? So our teachers explain us that external reason was that, you know, Duryodhan maintained him, na? On salary, on a particular post. Like we say, namak khaya tha uska. Duryodhan had maintained him. He had maintained himself, his body, his existence on Duryodhan's salary or on his shelter. Because he was technically the biggest guru. But because he gave up the chair, the chair came to Dhritarashtra and then came to the Yuvaraj Duryodhan. So once you give up your chair, you can't claim the power of the chair. So the power of the chair was with Duryodhan. So apparently, although he was the biggest and the senior most guru, he was now maintained by the existing powerful guru. I mean, person who has adhikar. So he also accepted the position of being subordinate, being a servant to the Kuru dynasty. He was serving Dhritarashtra and the Kuru Singhasan. So that's why he thought, I am obliged by Kauravas, so I should fight from this side. But our teachers explain us that internal reason was, he knew that Krishna wanted to prove to the whole world, okay, although you are the topmost of a personality from spiritual and material point of view, power point of view, all points of view, even then if you take the side of asatya, then you will be vanquished, destroyed. And he was the best person to be chosen to go on that side and to prove that Even you, if you go on wrong side, you'll be destroyed. So, even the greatest person is on the side of asatya, he would be destroyed utterly. Not like anything, but utterly he'll be destroyed. It should be obvious to everybody. Although you are he, if you side the wrong thing, you'll be destroyed. So, now, there are many stories in life of Krishna and Bhishmadeva and Pandavas. Okay, so, you know, the war has started now. And Bhishmadeva was the Senapati of Kaurav side. So, Duryodhana was so confident, only because Bhishma is on my side, my victory is 100% sure. He was so confident, he was so relaxed actually. But in the course of the battlefield, he saw that Bhishma is fighting a very friendly war. He's just like, you know, enjoying fighting. He's not really fighting fiercely. Ek hota hai na, fighting is like fighting to win desperately from moment one to the whatever moments are there. You can see that this guy is fighting like a fire. He doesn't want to have the battle for 20 days. He wants to finish in one day. You can make out. But here, 8 days have passed. And what is happening is, Lutu Putuchi Ladai. And he's just like, you know, Duryodhana could make out that there were so many chances to actually kill Pandavas, but he's not shooting the, what do you call, final arrows, you know, effective arrows that could kill. So he understood that Bhishmadev is in love. So in the evening he met, after 8 days, I don't think you are our Senapati. Looks like you are their Senapati. You are wearing garb of my Senapati, you are fighting on their side. And your all activities, your all, what you call, formations and strategies are all meant for Pandavas to win. It doesn't look like to me. I can watch, I can see that you are actually all planning to for them to win. Plus, you have also given them blessings before the war. Vijayi Bhava. What is this? You know, you are my Senapati and giving them. He said, yeah, you didn't come to bow down to me. They came to bow down to me. So, I have to give them Vijayi Bhava Ashirvad. You are failing at every step. What I can do? They are virtuous. And it is a fact that I love you. I love them. Then he said, you are a coward. You don't have courage. Like, you know, there's a trick, you know, to instigate a Kshatriya. You have to only insult that person. And especially about the power and the courage, sahas. So he did that. He was a very cunning fellow, but he knew the niti very well. So he did that. And of course, Bhishmadeva was Kshatriya. So he was enraged. He said, tomorrow I will kill Pandavas with these 5 arrows. So Duryodhana said, give the arrows to me. Before you change your mind overnight, see kya hota na? Hamare Hindi mein kehte na, raat gayi, baat gayi. So if you suppose say something and you sleep, next morning whole the mind is changed. You know, the sleep can really make you so happy and peaceful. So always we say that any turmoil in life, take a tablet and go to sleep. After you wake up, your mind will change and you will be in a better position to take decisions in life. So you may change your mind in the morning, so give it to me. So now everybody in Pandav Tambu is sleeping very nicely. Except Krishna, who is awake. He has taken responsibility, na? The people who have given the responsibility are sleeping very nicely. So if a person who has taken responsibility is so miserable, he is not sleeping. So he said, Arjuna, let's go, come. Where? You just come. So first he woke him up. He said, why are you sleeping so peacefully? Get up, you have to go. So he took him to Duryodhana's camp. And Duryodhana said, oh, my younger brother, you have come. What can I do for you? So he had told him when he'll ask you that, na, because he's a very cultured person. Although he's Duryodhana, he's a very cultured person. And he, in the evening, he's not going to shoot arrow on you because you have come without any weapon. He will ask you, what do you want, my dear brother, my dear younger brother, Anuj brother? That time you said those 5 arrows you give me. So as soon as he asked that, Arjun said, I want those 5 arrows. And he immediately gave because Kshatriya is a man of a word. Kshatriya cannot say something and not do. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sorry, not this. Kshatriya will always fulfill. They're having that courage. Even though they will do that, something detrimental for their own welfare, but they have power to do the needful. That much of confidence they have. So he said, give. So 5 arrows were bought. Then what he did? Then he, because Bhishmadeva said that I will kill all the Pandavas tomorrow. So he woke up Draupadi from fast sleep and said, come. So Draupadi started walking and she had worn some footwear. And by the time he said, where are you going, taking me? Shh, just come. Quietly you come. Walk very softly. Nobody should know you are coming, walking. But still her footwear was making some sound. So Krishna said, remove your footwear. And immediately she removed and he just put it under his arm and started walking. So she said, Krishna, what are you doing? She said, shh, no time to argument. No time for argument. She said, just do. So Krishna wanted to serve his devotee. So Draupadi's footwear he is holding in his armpit. And they came to Bhishmadev's Sambhu. And Bhishmadev, it was like early morning time that time. Evening time, he took Arjuna to Duryodhan's camp. Early morning time, he took Draupadi to Bhishmadev's camp. Where he is. And Bhishmadev, you see, he is sitting in his meditation, morning sadhana. He is not saying, war is going on. How can I chant my rounds? War or no war? Happiness or sorrow? Sukhe duke phule na ko, vadane hari naam karo re. In the middle of such a deadly war, he is so peacefully performing his sadhana in the morning. So what? When they came close to the tambu, Krishna said to Draupadi, you take your veil very much down from your face. Like a newly married woman, you know, like lamba, mungat. And straight offer dandavat pranam to Bhishmadev. Like ladies offer. And Bhishmadev like half eyes closed in meditation, you know. So he didn't see exactly who has come. But some lady has come. So he said, akhanda saubhagavati bhava. And then she removed her veil. And then he saw Draupadi. He saw Krishna. Then he understood that this is all Krishna's trick. If I give akhanda saubhagyavati bhava ashirvad to Draupadi, then how can I kill the husbands? And their arrows have been taken. Right? So this is all. Bhishmadev is not angry or upset or agitated. Hey, what Krishna you are doing? Yesterday I said something, today you are just making me look like a clown, you know. But he knows, because he's a very deep, surrendered, committed, long-term devotee of Krishna. He knows, my Lord Krishna will not do anything which is not good for me. What do only good for me? For the good for the universe, for everybody else. And he knew that this person who is my actually nephew, his Supreme Personality of Godhead. So although he was interacting, accepting his obeisances whenever Krishna would come, all the things were happening like routine Shishtachar. But he knew that this person is my Lord, my worshipable Lord. So whatever it is fine with me. Let me see now exactly what happens. And then, after that, next morning, Duryodhan, he went to Duryodhan and said, give my arrows. He said, my arrows are gone to Pandava's side. And Bhishmadev also knows that I also have given benediction to Pandava, to Draupadi. So he was like, said, but still I will show you my prowess. And in half a day, he destroyed half the army of Pandavas. 7 Akshavani, 3.5 Akshavani is finished. Finished within no time. There was such a rain of arrows, such a rain of power. Overwhelming power was there that there was no chance, you know. Bhimsen, Yudhishthir, Arjun, all were like crying. They were like helplessly crying. It is explained by Radhana Swami that Arjuna was on the ground, weaponless, on the ground, helpless. I think after that only Duryodhan went and told Bhishmadev. I may be a little wrong. Because then he saw that all of them could have been killed by you, but you didn't kill them still. And that's how he said. So, that evening, it was another disastrous evening. What to do? Tomorrow he behaves the same way, then we are finished. So they had a meeting and they said, Krishna said, the only way is, or I can see the only way, you cannot stand in front of Bhishmadev at all. There is no way, nobody of you, or all together in with you, all together you come, there is no way that you can do anything with this Zadzavat, the cyclone. So what to do? He said, I have one upay. Would you agree? He said, yes, whatever you say. He said, you have to go and ask him how to kill him. Because he is Ichchamarani. He has got benediction from his father. So nobody can kill him also. Only if you go and ask him, what is the way of making you flat rather than standing? Because you are not going to die anyways. How to make you stop fighting and make you flat on the ground? So then they cried and cried and cried and cried. How can we ask Bhishmadev? In our childhood, we were playing in his lap, pulling his dadi, pulling his beard, jumping on his shoulder. He would feed us. We would feed him in his mouth, from our mouth also. So much love. We have grown up from childhood to this position by his blessings and love and mercy. He is not only grandfather, he is everything to us. And you are asking us to ask him to how to kill him? He said, then lose the war. You have to choose. Whether you are attached to dharma, whether you are attached to grandfather, you decide. See, Krishna is very clear. You know, he is not mixing up emotions with the duty. When the duty comes, then all emotions have to be kept aside. However painful, happy it may appear to you. So finally, he gave time to Pandavas. Okay, you take your time, 1 hour, half an hour, to settle down and to accept. And they accepted and they all went to Bhishmadev. And now they go to Bhishmadev and there's so much of love. They have so much of love for Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev has so much of love for Pandavas. You know, it's like such a scene. And they just go to his tent and they are crying and crying and crying only. So Bhishmadev is saying, what happened? Speak. Why are you not speaking? And he is asking and they are crying. Because they know what they are going to ask and they cannot ask. So he is saying, ask my dear children, ask. And finally then, I think Dharmaraj or Arjun asked. And they were thinking that Bhishmadev will become devastated to hear the question. But you know, how devotee is Vaishnava Kriya Mudra, Vigyena Bhujaya. Nobody can predict how the Vaishnava will behave on a particular occasion. You may think he will behave in this way, but you know, Vaishnava will behave in a totally opposite way. Instead of becoming upset or sad, he was so blissful. He said, I was waiting for you to ask me this question because I knew unless you ask this question to me, no one and none of you can ever defeat me or have me out of the battle. So I'm very blissful. I'm also fed up with this life of such a long duration, undergoing so many things which I didn't want to see, didn't want to handle. But I was supposed to handle and I had to handle. Now I think the good time